If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Before we go live to Ukraine, let me share this text with you from Elke in Northbrook. Good morning to the hardworking people of WGN Radio. I am your walking advertisement. So many people do not know about the excellent reporting from Joseph Lindsley. Bob, please tell your listeners about Ukrainian Freedom News. They need financial support. Every dollar helps, especially what's going on in Washington. It's more important than ever now. Trust me, you've got some of my buddies listening to WGN for the first time. Stay warm. Well, appreciate that message. And Joseph Lindsley, I'm sure you do, too.
Indeed, Bob. And thank you, Elke, for that note of support. Hello from Kharkiv. And I'd mentioned Elke to you all before because another listener, Jim Gamash, came here several times to help after listening to these reports. And he was just here for about a month and a half. And he brought a gift from Elke all the way from Chicagoland to Ukraine. And so it really is great to have these strong connections, especially, you know, as this goes on, you know, day by day. And we have this article in The Economist, the interview with Ukraine's General Zaluzhny, who, you know, I mean, he's really one of the most well-loved people here in Ukraine. He's 50 years old, which means that he never served in the Soviet military. And so he's a very innovative guy. And the story that he wrote or what he told The Economist, there's a lot of hope, but it's also very realistic and challenging. And he says that, you know, Ukraine, because the West was so slow in getting key weapons to Ukraine, you know, Russia has been allowed to regroup and to build up its defenses. And so he makes a plea in a very sort of methodical way to get, you know, more advanced technology to Ukraine. He says, without this, there most likely will be no deep and beautiful breakthrough through the Russian lines. And so these are heavy things. And today is a gray, rainy day here in Kharkiv. It's the Feast of All Souls, which is a day when you remember the dead. Up until for millennia, Ukrainians would celebrate this holiday 2 weeks from now. But because they want to separate themselves from all things Russian, they've changed their calendar to align with the West, which is pretty remarkable. They just the religious and holiday calendar has changed, and people just go with it. But today is a day to remember the dead, and obviously that's something that weighs heavily on people in the city of Lviv. The churches are packed today. Here in the East, where the Soviets did a lot to destroy the traditions, you don't feel that in the same way. But it's still, there's a heaviness. And I was taking a walk. I was going through a run in the park today here in Kharkiv and through the drizzle, and the air raid alarm sounded. And I felt this heaviness. How long will this go on? And, on a positive side, the Russians have, again, I mean, everyone is still awaiting these infrastructure attacks. There have been no major Russian missile attacks since September throughout Ukraine. They continue to hit places and shell cities and towns along the border. But there is this weird sense of calm in many of the cities. But you do see the difficulties sort of pile up every day. And yesterday I met with a friend who lost his leg in battle. And this is becoming more and more common. To people that have lost arms and legs, let alone lives. And so my friend who lost his leg was, able to joke and laugh, and, you find ways to keep going. But for some reason today, when that air raid alarm sounded, and, I can't even count how many I've heard in the past 24 hours, that's, at least we haven't heard rockets, but it's only the alarms. And I just sat in the park. There's a little cafe, and I got a glass of beer, and I sat there, And was just sort of trying to process all of this, the heaviness that we face. But then it is exactly, it's a little moments of support. It's a friend who lost his leg who's laughing about it. It's Elke from Chicago writing that letter. Those things all together give people and give me, give us all energy to keep going.
Joseph, do the people in Ukraine talk much about what's going on in the Middle East?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, and as you know, here there's not a single pro-Hamas rally. Ukrainians, you know, they feel very deeply kinship with the Israelis because of what they've suffered. And even in some, like, for example, many Israelis were supporting Ukraine, even if the government was not fully supporting Ukraine because of its Russia connections. But individual Israelis have been fighting here. And then we've, you know, even on our project with Ukrainian Freedom News, we've received support from people in Israel. There was a place in Tel Aviv called Gioconda Wine Library, and the two women that ran it would hold fundraisers for us, really, especially the first year of Russia's full-scale invasion, and they would send money. And now they're closed because their block in Tel Aviv has come under shelling and attack. And so the people who once supported us now are also in need of support. And I think if you look at, you know, Israel is the homeland of the Jewish people. If they lose that, there's nowhere else. And it's the same for Ukrainians. This is their homeland. And what Russia has been doing, especially since 2014, when they couldn't control the Ukrainian government, they would try to flood, especially the eastern parts of Ukraine, with Russians and Russian speakers, and do everything they could to destroy Ukrainian culture and tradition. And that's what they did in the city of Donetsk, which they've occupied since 2014. And I think there's many parallels between Donetsk and Gaza. They actually are the occupiers. They, you know, and if you go back and look at the history with Israel after the British Mandate, Jordan was supposed to be the home for the Palestinians, and Israel was supposed to be the home for the Jewish people. But actually, the Arab nations that did not want Israel to exist have been trying to occupy it by stealth, just as the Russians were trying to do here in Ukraine. And so there is here for people here, there's no question of support for Israel.
I'll tell you, you see those civilian casualties on both sides, in Palestine, in Gaza, and in Israel. And it just, I mean, for the last week or so here on our record collection feature, I've been playing anti-war songs again from the past and listening to those words, which are so relevant today. And it's just, and it also, you know, reminds me, and I'm sure you, being a student of history, of when the Nazi concentration camps were liberated, and General Eisenhower asked for the press to come in and show this to the world. Remember?
Yeah, and you know, and this is to show it so that we don't forget it. And then still, and that's why it's you know, it's comforting to be here in Ukraine, where there's love for the Jewish people, and there's many Jews here. But it's so strange to see that around the world, that people are actually attacking people for being Jewish. And you see that this hasn't gone away, and people have not learned the lessons of this, and that this is, and I think that the difficulty for Israel, which is very different from the situation in Ukraine, because in Ukraine, you know, Ukrainians very rarely even attack Russian territory. You know, every once in a while there are drone strikes on Russian bases, but it's been a different type of war in that sense. Ukrainians have been able to hit Russian military targets and occupied places, but it's a different, you know, in order for Israel to win here, they have to hit this very complicated and difficult area full of civilians, and so that's a difference here. Maybe that's one reason why it was easier for Ukrainians to get sympathy. But as you see in this story, the Economist story with General Zeluzhny, and it's, you know, the world, you know, it's nice enough to wave the flags and say, oh, I support Israel, or I support Ukraine and free people. But unless you get the lethal long range weapons and the anti-drone technology and all these things that are actually required, then there can't be no victory. And unless you accept the fact that the Kremlin has to be defeated, there can be no victory. And these are the difficult things that lots of Western leaders do not necessarily want to face.
It's complicated. And one more thing before we let you go, Joseph. Ukraine's commander-in-chief says that the war against Russia has reached a stalemate. Is that good news for Ukraine or bad news?
Yeah, that's what I personally don't like the word stalemate, but he means, and the Economist was interpreting it as that, but it means that at the front lines, as he said, there will be no deep and beautiful breakthrough unless there is more advanced technology and delivered rapidly and more advanced weapons. And he says even the F-16s you know, Ukraine needed that a year ago, and now they're arriving, and it's too late. You know, already the Russians have adapted. And so in that sense, yes, it's a stalemate at those front lines. But then the thing that we have to remember is, like, we've had this strange quiet from Russia. And every time, and this is General Zaluzhny said this in The Economist story, every time there is some kind of pause from Russia, that should be the time to rally the West and say, let's get Ukraine everything they need to win quickly. But what always happens is Ukraine drifts out of the news, drifts out of focus during those times, as happened after the Kharkiv offensive in 2022, drifts out of the news. And then the Russians use those intervening months to resupply, restock, and adapt. And that's exactly what seems to be probably what's happening now. You know, so, I mean, it could be these very weeks, while also caring about Israel, Washington could be saying, let's get Ukraine many more attack-ems, many more HIMARS, many more long-range missiles, and let's attack every single Russian base that we can. And that's not happening.
Yes, now with the war in Israel in the headlines every day, as it should be, it is easier than ever to forget about what's going on where you are, Joseph. We'll do our part here every morning, and we'll connect again tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Till tomorrow.